Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from the end of the Gospel reading where Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." Dear people of God in Christ Jesus, many of you know Caroline, a person who volunteers in our church office on a regular basis. She's here this morning, a great big help. Well, Caroline and I both attended funerals this past week, hers down here, mine farther up north, and they were both funerals for lifelong friends of ours. Now, Caroline knew her friend a little bit longer because Caroline's a little bit older than I am. But my friend was also family. He happened to be a first cousin of Monica, just 5 months younger than her. And while I had been doing things regularly with him ever since high school youth group days, she and her family had been doing things with him, all the holidays and many other things, as long as they could remember. At Caroline's funeral, she sat in the pew with the mourners. At mine, I stood in the pulpit and preached. Caroline's friend died a few minutes after her priest came and administered last rites. My friend on Friday night watched the end of the Tiger game, turned his TV off, answered a text, fell asleep in his lazy boy, and then just never woke up on Saturday morning. Both of our friends were baptized as infants, and both of them lived faithfully arm in arm with Jesus throughout their lives. So they now are asleep with Jesus, awaiting the resurrection on the last day, and we are comforted. We are comforted because of two bottom line facts. The first, that Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has defeated sin, death, and the devil, giving us our redemption. And secondly, because Jesus is the one who is at work in our world still today through word and sacrament, drawing people to himself, keeping us in that one true faith, and sharing with us all of the fruits of his redemptive work. This means, pretty simply, that as long as we allow Jesus to be thus at work in us, we have nothing to fear. Jesus will lead us on until our rest is won. Now, today's gospel reading tells of a time, a story of people who were saying the exact opposite about Jesus. In fact, they were saying he's possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons, he cast out demons. Jesus' response to them is really pretty simple. He says, either God is at work in me or Satan is at work in me. It's got to be one way or the other. There's no gray area in between. And Jesus says, that's the bottom line. And you know what? It remains the bottom line even today, although it's said in many different ways. In our text, Jesus says it this way. Truly I tell you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they offer, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Jesus uses that big word, blasphemy. I like how one commentator defines blasphemy. He says, blasphemy is the arrogant defiance of God. Our Lord's accusers were saying, Jesus, we know better than you. They were saying, God is at work in us. He's not at work in you. Jesus responds to them by saying, if you say that God is not at work in me, then you are actually saying that Satan is at work in me. Again, it's got to be one way or the other. There's no gray area in between. And I, Jesus, am saying to you, God is at work in me. And then Jesus goes on to say, look at what's happening here. One of us is in arrogant defiance of God. And there is no salvation, Jesus goes on to say, for anyone who is in arrogant defiance of God. Now, at this point, our Lord's attackers or accusers would agree with Jesus. They would agree with him in saying, you're right, there is no salvation for anyone who arrogantly defies the Almighty God. So you see, the bottom line is really Jesus. Jesus, who through his life, death, and resurrection has defeated sin, death, and the devil, accomplished our redemption. And Jesus, as he is at work in us through word and sacrament, planting and growing faith and multiplying the fruits of his redemption in our lives. Anyone who rejects Jesus, anyone who separates himself from Jesus, anyone who walks away from Jesus as comes to us in word and sacrament is quite simply in arrogant defiance of God. God, who is at work in Jesus, rescuing people from Satan. They, on the other hand, are choosing death over God's free gift of life with Jesus. Which is really what today Jesus says when he says, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and their blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. That last little phrase there, an eternal sin, is better, almost word for word, defined as saying, has no forgiveness from the ages of ages. Now think about it. Why would they have no forgiveness? Well, it's not because Jesus didn't die for them, because we know quite well Christ died for all. And it wouldn't be because God in Christ is not forgiving them, because Jesus says it pretty clearly, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. No, rather, the reason is because they are arrogantly rejecting the free gift. They are arrogantly rejecting Jesus. And Peter, under the power of the Holy Spirit, says it pretty clearly in Acts chapter 4, where he says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That, quite simply, is the bottom line. And that bottom line changes everything. First of all, it changes how we live. Now, I don't exactly know about you and yourself, for all of you, but I do know about me that in myself there is a natural tendency to arrogantly defy God. I, many times, think I know better. I like my own ways better than I like his ways. I think I can take care of myself pretty well much of the time. It's even easy for me to think that receiving God's word daily and communing regularly isn't all that important. Wow. My life is busy enough without those things. Maybe I'll just throw them in occasionally. But they're really not all that important, are they? I mean, after all, there are many other activities that make me feel a whole lot better. But you see, those attitudes in me more than just ignore God. They defy him. And this is more than a little bit of an arrogant attitude. and it moves me dangerously close to hardening my heart to the Holy Spirit. Dangerously close to having me echoing those words of the scribes, he's possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons. So to fight that tendency within me, to receive what Christ seeks to freely give to me, I read his word daily. I join FHL groups to discuss it in other places as well. I commune regularly because through these means, Jesus heals me. He heals my attitude. He renews me. And he transforms me day by day by day. Which then also changes the way that I look at death. Whether we're talking about my own death or the death of others. Now, don't get me wrong, death is still my enemy. I'm not eager to die. And there are lots of things that I still want to do on this earth and many things that I greatly enjoy on this earth. By the way, I didn't want my friend to die either. In fact, in my sermon, I said I was still wanting to spend many more tailgates at U of M football games, arm in arm with him, singing the Piano Man. And I don't think Carolyn wanted her friend to die either. Well, but how does St. Paul put it? He says, "We do not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Death may well be our enemy, but we remember the bottom line. Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has defeated sin, death, and the devil, as he accomplished our redemption. And Jesus is the one who is at work in our world still today, through word and sacrament, drawing people to himself, keeping us in that one true faith, and sharing with us all of the fruit of his redemptive work, even forgiving us of our tendency to arrogantly defy him. And in all of this, instead of withdrawing his Holy Spirit from us, he renews us in him through these gifts of word and sacrament, giving us peace, joy, and comfort, growing our faith and our hope and our love, all these gifts that are found nowhere else. Because you see, for you and me, Jesus' bottom line is us and our eternal life with him. In his name, amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds right there with Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.